Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello to all of our listeners out there, and thank you for joining us on our show today. We're always happy as well when we have you there for our pre-record. And to my brothers and sisters who would like to be part of the pre-record and are going to hear the show later, the way that people know that there is a pre-record is that they actually follow my Twitter page. And I think that the Twitter page is also on the side margin of our blog. So if you go to www.almeendiary.com, you will find out exactly where to go for that. So we've got lots of exciting questions that came in from you during the night and from all over the world. So we are very delighted to turn our attention to those this morning. And we've got 2 hours of pre-record, one on station one and one will be on station two. I believe that it is. And so if you follow us for both hours, please know to make that change and call in on station two halfway through. So we've got Richard from Texas. Good morning, Richard. I'm so delighted to hear from you again, my friend. And you're asking, I have heard now several times that all of creation has been made new. As the infinite, in a never-ending quest to refine all of life, exposes that which is not life-enhancing and that which is no longer necessary for life to grow. Now, obviously, we still all have the same memories as we did before we were remade. It seems we are needing to shed the old memories as we come to terms with the new role we play in life. Overcoming these memories of the way things used to be seems to be a challenge. I was wondering what role the History Keepers of the Cosmos has in holding on to these old memories. As I understand it, if all knowledge is known and freely accessible through silence of the mind, is there some aspect of us that taps into that info, the history, and keeps holding on to it as a reference point of where we came from? I know that there is a problem, Richard. So many layers of work have been done with this, and somehow we still are identifying, what has gone before as who we are and define ourselves by it. For instance, I wasn't good at math or I was brilliant at math or whatever. So we've got a problem. And here's what has been done. So number one, you know, areas in our body that store history no longer store history, like the amygdala, the reptilian brain, teeth store history, bones, etc., right? So cellular memory, for example, membranes was a very prevalent place that stores memory. As memory containers, these areas have all been cleared out. Now, and designated to have different tasks. The other thing that has been done is that the reality of the memory or continuity has been removed. That means the real part of it has been removed. So if there's some left, there is an illusion. Secondly, it was tried very briefly, for us a year back, to put new implanted memories in. And the new implanted memories would give us that which was, not that which wasn't. That didn't work. And Barbara Rotzel, one of our masters here in the States, had pointed out that, listen, implanted memories would make a template. It would make artificial intelligence. And she's right. It does. So what then was done is that it was said, okay, we will remember only those parts of our existence that correspond to that which is real, that which the infinite is. But for some people, their almost their whole life has been a non-life-enhancing life. They have suffered various things like that. So, again, that didn't properly work. Mother then removed the real part, and I keep saying mother when it's the infinite, but it's years of habit, I suppose, has removed the reality and the need for continuity. So then, you know, the issue becomes, well, if you wake up in the morning, how do you know that the person next to you is your spouse, or you have three children, or this is your mother that's living in the basement, or how would you remember that? Reason is, you know, that what was then done is that it was said it would come through effortless knowing. So the thing that was removed is the not just the need for continuity, but the need for identity, the need for memory. I was trying to think now. There's a couple more really pertinent ones that were removed. Memories of the dream have several times been wiped out. The electromagnetic components found in the infinite intent held memory. Building blocks held memory. Those things have been wiped out. They don't exist anymore. Electromagnetic components as a whole don't exist. So I don't know what it is that's holding memory. However, you have tapped into something, and let me read you another question from Christina in Toronto, because your question and her question go together to produce a very magnificent answer. Is it the only answer? I don't know. It might be another layer. There might be 20 or 100 more layers beyond that, but we do it one layer at a time then, if that's what it takes. So she says, Nancy mentioned hummingbirds. I would also like to query on the significance at this time of hummingbirds. I woke up, I think it was 10 days or so ago, and heard first thing hummingbird, and then Simon. Now, Simon is our very beautiful master that is our moderator for the personal question forum that we have, and Simon is also the facilitator for Canada. She says that I mentioned it again at Pod to Simon, and Barbara said she had heard hummingbird too. And the Master Barbara is part of the group in Toronto. Anita received a beautiful crystal with a hummingbird on it. What is the message they are trying to convey? Or is it about frequencies? So what has this got to do with Richard from Texas's question? Christina's from Toronto. Richard asks, I was wondering what role the history keepers of the cosmos have in holding on to these old memories. What he's talking about there, my brothers and sisters, for those of you that are not familiar with it, is the history keepers that gave us the history of the Earth and how she came to be in this part of space, as part of this solar system. All of that is written in the second half of the book, The Gift of the Unicorns. And I took it dictation from the history keepers of, that's a race called the Darklings. The very, very small race, but very large numbers of them actually on Earth, and they live in the depths of the ocean. Very potent magic. I have had much interaction with them. They are so beautiful and totally devoted to the infinite and the life and truth. They are very beautiful. So I just want to point out that, you know, there is something connecting here with the hummingbird, and let me tell you what it is. Hummingbirds represent the passage of time. They are archetypal. If you trace back the hummingbird, which is a fascinating thing to do, I think we speak about the hummingbird on It's either theearthchronicles.com or it's ancientshamanism.com, where we work with animal archetypes. We work also with the hummingbird. And any question like that you have, first check the sort of a reference library, if you will, that's given on forum, schoolofarcana.org, because it tells you where to go for what. But it's mostly geared towards self-help, so I don't know if it has all the shamanic techniques. However, my brothers and sisters, just a question from you on the forum, and the masters will immediately be able to tell you where to go. So the hummingbird, if you trace it back to its origins, it's a most extraordinary revelation of where it leads. It's actually the reincarnation of Tyrannosaurus rex, the ferocious, They say, no, that's the squirrel. The squirrel is Tyrannosaurus rex. Raptor became hummingbird. Thank you. Sorry about that. The infinite doesn't let me get away with a mistake. That's good news for you and for me as well. So, my brothers and sisters, Tyrannosaurus rex became the squirrel. And the ferret. It became the ferret, not the squirrel. Sorry, I see this little fuzzy animal in vision in front of me, and I gave it the wrong name. It becomes a ferret. The shrew family and the mink family, all of these are branches from the original soul group that was Tyrannosaurus rex. The raptors, also pretty ferocious, became the hummingbird. And the high energy that they have in the small body is due to this, that they were a very potent force to be reckoned with at one time. They have become a life-enhancing species. Hummingbirds are disappearing because linear time has disappeared. So, excuse me, let me just hear this communication coming in through my ear just one second. Ishtachneske kia kusa. Ishkabakaya shahye. Anasavata ishatachna miskiri kia kaunash. The Holy Mother is speaking. She is saying that the hummingbirds should not be disappearing. They represent linear time. Linear time is disappearing. Simon represents martyrdom. Martyrdom has disappeared. And so there would be health problems for Simon as long as he holds this archetype. There would be a diminishing of the species for the hummingbird as long as they hold this archetype. The history keepers of the cosmos are also in this way archetypal, because even though there is still not history, they are still recording it as though the fluid eternal moment is a linear sequence of moments. Bishkeh kiavaskana. Ichkiahukaye sayeh. Kashah tachnasa. This time, let it be said that all archetypes, including humanity as an archetype, no longer fulfill that role. That the infinite is that which holds the strings of all. It's that which holds the all of the pieces. I see it like an image of gathering strings into one's hand that goes out around the world. It's held in the hand. When archetypes hold their tasks and they hold it worthily, and those tasks become obsolete, they too become obsolete. The bees are such an example. Let's take a break, my brothers and sisters, and then we'll hear how the bees are an example of an archetype that has become obsolete and what is going to be done about these archetypes.
Mm-hmm. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. Oh, interestingly enough, when we had our little break, I was looking through the questions and I read Nancy's part that she had submitted to the forum, which was mentioned by Christina in Toronto's piece that she wrote. She said, you know, Christina was saying Nancy mentioned hummingbirds. Well, this is what Nancy says, and Nancy's from Arizona. Is there something going on with the bees and the hummingbirds? Here come the bees. So, in the last month or so, I have noticed the bees are constantly at the hummingbird feeder, in which now the hummingbirds don't come as much or at all. I have lived here for 2 years, and the feeder always was emptied by the hummingbirds within a week. Now the bees just hang there and are so impatient for me to hang the hummingbird feeder as they are swarming to get it. Maybe something like this most would not wonder, but I am curious, since I have noticed on one of your websites you have a page on healing the bees. Do the bees need healing? Well, let's see what the Infinite says about this, because, you know, what the deal is exactly, I don't quite understand, but Isherta sunaye ki hachkaya ishaitasa mishpach kunu uchikiriya. My brothers and sisters, there is a book coming out that Mother is saying concepts that are in it. And the book is called The Thought That Fractured the Infinite. It will be out in approximately a week as an ebook. It's got the most phenomenal secrets and insights in it, amongst other things, about how life began. It also has, as a bonus section, that which are the potencies, the alchemical potencies of light. And subsequent books build on that knowledge, so it's necessary to have that. But as a firm foundation for this book, so you have a lot of the background information, because most of that book was taken in the Mother's words. And so as the Infinite gave it to me, I wrote it down, and it came in portions. To understand it as best you can, there is a web tutorial available, and it is called The Thought That Fractured the Infinite. The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, as a web tutorial, has background and foundational information that will enable you to understand that book better. In there, you will better understand now what the Mother is saying. The Infinite is saying that there was a contraction that took place as part of creating individuated life. In other words, the infinite contracted and contracted and contracted. In contracting, there was, a trail of crumbs left behind as we went deeper and deeper into the forest so that we would know how far we came from and we would know our way out of it again. The trail of crumbs consisted of, now imagine the infinite contracting denser and denser and denser. So this is part of what the four was, and it's more properly explained in that book. But as that occurred, there were things left behind. And one of the things that was left behind, for example, is frequencies that, when they were extracted out of creation, created a further fall or contraction. And this denser and denser created the fact that material life could be formed. As the density continued to happen, great vast bands were left behind. Remnants of it was brought with us, but the bands that were left behind was the band of seeking sameness or uniformity, total dependence. The next band that was left behind, and you can read about these bands in Journey to the Heart of God, very good explanation of them in there, actually. If I say so myself, because you know I don't write these books myself, they come through my pencil as I write with my hand in total silence. So, my brothers and sisters, the next band was codependency. And it was the band where we seek sameness, but allow a little bit of diversity in as long as it becomes more or less the same. And then the next band, and these are the cookie crumbs that were left as we contracted, they became obsolete as we left that level of existence. But the next one down was total independence. And we've traced this in the developmental stages of social groups like nations or tribes or and so forth in the book Journey to the Heart of God. It's certainly a good place to begin to understand this. And so the next place was total independency, seeking to be free from sameness. And then, and you can find these same social stages in relationship, in when you're in love with somebody, if, you know, the way a child develops throughout life, you find this. The next thing then that you find is interdependency. Interdependency is what bees represent. Interdependency is unity within diversity. It's unity of purpose within diversity of heart. You can see that it is exclusive to a large extent. It's the kind of a relationship, if you trace these bands of compassion, as they're called, as relationship, but it's a cookie crumb that marked our descent that has become obsolete. But it's the kind of a relationship that people in an office have. When people work in an office together, they have one common purpose. The purpose is to promote a certain product. The purpose is to render a certain service, to do a certain administrative service, whatever it is. There is a common work goal. It's the goal of mind. But their hearts, you know, may be in totally different places. One may be enlightened, another may not. Doesn't matter, as long as they're doing their work well. So this is what bees represent, one-mindedness. In other words, telepathic communication. So what needs to happen, because as we're moving on, we're moving, the next is what the Ho'oponopono teaches, which is the one heart. It is very much more inclusive. And it is the place of autonomy, where you take full responsibility for your environment by tapping into the fields of the one heart. You change yourself, you change your environment. Ho'oponopono. But there are stages beyond that that are far more advanced, because that's the one heart. The one heart doesn't stay together as a group. It's not cohesive enough, because a group needs some identifying. It needs some cohesion. And the one heart sees the every living thing as its group. So you don't accomplish much if you just want the one heart. It's growth through support. The cosmos actually tried it, and it produced growth that was too slow. Beyond that lies the unconditional oneness of one heart, one mind. That creates groups of like-mindedness, of same level of purity of heart, and that creates light families, which is why I refer to you as my light family. So my brothers and sisters, the bees are archetypal, like Simon, like the hummingbirds, like the history keepers of the planet. They are all archetypally representing obsolete principles. So, Yeshkia Kuchna Saiye, Mother says, this is the day to change that. This is the moment, actually, to change that. Eshekia Kuyech, Nachgava, Beshbia Kyasata. Let all archetypes have their burden totally dissolved. Let them be given the additional components, Mishpechkaya Satavai, so that they can fulfill wholeness and not a part. In other words, not one fraction represented deeply, because that's what an archetype is. They're representing the whole broadly. Let this be given to the bees. Let them flourish. Mispach kaye viaskava eshkia vaskata nechpekia kunush. And our beautiful sister Rain on the Earth, a Native American sister, she's the liaison for Belvas Bata to the native tribes. And her brother is an important map keeper for the tribe as well. For there's one of their sacred sites, actually. So this sister is very, very passionate about the bees being restored. And she should, I hope somebody who is listening to this will get her attention and tell her to listen to this show. But the bees will be restored, not just by removing their archetypal role, as these other that we mentioned will be, but be given the whole. In other words, they will be given all the components, not just part of the components that they are representing, which makes them archetypes. Let me just see if there's anything else. Okay. Like you know, my back started hurting yesterday. And one of the reasons is that, you know, I finally this morning, I said, oh, Chino, please tell me what's going on. And Mother said, you look back. Don't look back. The dream wasn't real. I can feel in my heart, Richard, that there are things that we're overlooking. I know that it's there, and I don't know what it is. This day, by removing archetypes, we've done one more layer of removing this continuity of old dream memories that really shouldn't be there. We shouldn't remember, oh, this is our enemy, because those things are unreal. However, I can feel that there is more ahead, and I can't tell you what it is. So let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back and look at some more of your questions.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Helmi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelation.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. And I just also want to announce that apparently there is a show scheduled on this station. And I think that I would like to not do the second show today. My beloved brother Don at BBS station, there is more clarity in the end product when we record on station one. And I will just do the second show another time. We do have two more pre-records tomorrow if you want to join us. But I think today I will do just the one show, and another time when station one is available with the better equipment, I will actually record the show that we would have done as the second one today. Let's take a look at, we have Mark from Ohio. In opening the doors of heaven, who is the prophet in prediction 9 that is spoken of as the one who is revered by most and known by all? My beloved brother Mark, I am going to be a total chicken on this one and bail out. Here's why. Two Septembers ago, there was something uncovered that, in fact, that was a month that I made so many errors in my work. It's unbelievable because I was not here for virtually the entire month of September. And I tried to run my office from a hologram. I left a hologram behind to take care of my little kid. You know, she would still get hugged and feel me like I'm a real person. But I was gone the entire month. Mother sent me back into the void. Now, I understand that we're talking about the dream, but the dream tells us how we got where we are. She sent me back into the void. At the end of August, we made, as a cosmos, a change in trajectory. It wasn't till a month later that space folded in, so we were still in linear space, traveling along lines of light that resembled the infinite's DNA projected into space. And you can read about that in the brand new book, which is fascinating information about how creation was formed. And it's the book, Windows into Eternity. And my brothers and sisters, I just want to also mention all of these books that have these very vast conceptions. It's designed to bring you consciousness when you stretch yourself like that, but all of them also have practical application in it. So don't think that, like the Hopis say, they don't grow corn. They do. They are also there to help you and give you methods and ways to assist you in enhancing your everyday life. But let's continue with Mark's question here. In September, I was sent back to libraries that had been left behind when we had closed previous creational cycles. In the book, Windows into Eternity, you will see that we lived four realities, four parallel realities at once. And it was basically the four directions and so forth. The tree of life, you know, the I Ching, it was the four directions. We lived them at once, each one representing either mind or emotion or energy or matter or whatever. But the one we were in is the one that would actually be the one that would ascend. The others had pollution that had come into the holy libraries. In those holy libraries, there were devices that could see between cycles of life and between realities. Some of the then perpetrators could see that in the one particular reality, that it would be the one that would move beyond space into the inner space of the infinite, and that it would be the one that would be ascending. That when it did, all the others would be wiped out, as they were not life-enhancing enough to ascend. So it's part of transformation that you lose that which is not worthy of the transition that happens. So what happened then is that they saw ahead. They infiltrated the next cycle, which is our cycle, from whatever cycle of life they were in. Think of it as a four-leaf clover. We were in one of the leaves. They came from the other leaves, infiltrated through tunnels that were opened. And there were also devices through which they could see which level would succeed. They came through to that level, and in that level played the way showers, the good guys, the holy prophets. They were able, because of the magic that they got from the holy libraries that we've opened, and it will be available in May in a book called The Realms of Innocence. I'm actually just finishing up the editing on that, where we give all 130 libraries and their secrets. In those libraries are magnificent secrets and prophecies, and also holy sacred objects that enable all sorts of miracles to occur. These beings, who in three cycles of life were perpetrators in terms of being that non-life enhancing, came into this cycle and played the good guys. And many of them became world leaders in religion. So, you know, I have not paid much attention to that, because bottom line of it is, we are today's leaders. If we go back 2,000 years ago, if we go back what for us is 6 years ago, we will be going back to an earth that is as dense as what we would think of as an underworld. That's how dense it is. They may have been good guys or bad guys. What does it matter? They were the religious leaders for that time. You are for this time. And it's not in the miracles we do and the showy stuff. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, I have been amongst Native American medicine men. They spend their lifetime developing their miracles. Some of them, like Grandfather Stalking Wolf, you know, he's an ascended master. But he was so humble about the great miracles that he could do. And he took great pains to hide them so people wouldn't revere him. Instead, they would think it's a pile of useless, you know, medicine that he gave them or something. But he would take great pains to hide because he wanted to preserve his humility. There are power seekers and there are truth seekers. Power seekers, they do all sorts of miracles. I've seen them. I've seen them dematerialize and things floating through the air and people floating through the air and all the rest of it that they have done. In my own life, there's been a large share of miracles. But my brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, that's not how you judge someone. You judge them by the love that they give. Well, These beings even feigned, they pretended to love, and they spoke a great deal of love, and they wrote records pertaining to how we should love and be meek and mild and be led by beings like them. So I don't care whether they were really valid or not. What matters is that we stand up and become the pillars of the Infinite's temple, that we become those gods and goddesses in the flesh that is our destiny to be. That matters. And, you know, my brother Kostas in Greece always very humbly refers to himself as the student. But my brothers and sisters, define yourself by what you are becoming. You are becoming the masters of the earth. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this. Anybody that wants to be a follower is not going to be listening to this, because this information that I give you busts all the systems on earth. It defies what we thought we knew about so many things. And the people that are followers, those are the people that don't like to have their prison bars belief systems rattled. You are clearly the ones that are not afraid to have it rattled. So you are becoming, if you are not already, the masters on earth, which means you have the option of the silence of mind. These beings came in here, became world religious figures, because they could see that this was the time that if they were going to be wiped out, they would be totally wiped out. This was the reality, and this is where it was at. In September, 2 years ago, I was sent by the Infinite to places where cycles of life had already come to an end. And I found there the incorruptible libraries, because nothing could destroy them. And she had me bring forward the equivalent of what is called in the Book of Revelation, the Book of Life. If your name is written in it, you will be found worthy at Judgment Day to stand before the Infinite and receive everlasting life. If not, you will receive the second death, which means that which eliminates you as an individuation. This is written in the New Testament in the last book of it, which is the Book of Revelation. The books of life, if you will, in those previous cycles that have transpired, are in fact those books that tell you who was life enhancing enough to survive and who was not. Beings hid in the libraries because they knew that the libraries would not perish. But in some of these libraries where they were not infiltrated, their deeds of repression and their attempts to control and rebel against the one life that created the many is clearly documented. The Infinite told me to fetch certain things. Amongst other was a throne. It was a scepter, the scepter's center rod, and it was a piece of the crown that she sent me to fetch, as well as these records. And the statement at that time that she made was, if you do not bring these records, people on earth will never believe that certain religious leaders were anything other than good. You have to bring the records of how they've been since life began, not this last cycle when they saw everything as wrapping up and therefore they had to do something really quickly. So my brothers and sisters, that's about as much as I can give on this topic while still being a total chicken, Mark. I'm not going to name names, my sweetheart, because you know what? It really doesn't matter. What matters is the masters that are coming forth right now. So, okay, we will take our break and then we'll be right back.
Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces her readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. So my brothers and sisters, I have two questions left. One is from our brother in Greece, Kostas, and the other one is from our brother who is my studio producer. He's our sound producer and music producer, and that is Paul Downs. You hear his voice speaking about the new books we have out on the advertisements. And there are two questions that I want to answer for them. Let us begin with one that has been asked by Kostas. He says that, what do the mysteries of baptism and wedding do at an energetic, metaphysical level? Is there some other level where we should be approaching these mysteries for insight? Let me just read that sentence again to make sure I understand. Is there some other level we should be approaching these mysteries for insight? Okay. He says, recently I attended one baptism where after the priest directed his fingers to the area of the third eye chakra of the little girl and read something. The little girl then stopped crying and felt sleepy, yawning a lot, and rubbing her eyes. Is this incident taking us into a different question about someone giving someone else an evil eye or a bad eye? He said, sorry, I couldn't find another word. Interesting that you should mention this issue of the evil eye, because it is mentioned in a booklet that I have just finished. Well, actually, I'm not finished. I thought I was finished, but Mother said, no, there's more to come, that I have just completed three-quarters of the way. And it's the book that deals with Belva's Pata for the reproductive organs of men and women. And very specifically, for the gynecology of women. And apparently these reproductive organs are like, I'm going to say interdimensional, but then I'm going to explain in the next question, which is one that Paul Downs asks, that there isn't really dimensions. So, my brother, it brings us to the point that in that book, I speak about the Maya traditions, and it's actually my daughter, Almin Jr., that wrote a whole piece for us for that, because her forte is treating women's gynecological issues. She's a Oriental medicine practitioner, acupuncturist, and so she treats them, and she's also studied it in the Yucatan. She has studied it in Belize, and she has studied it in Brazil. is it Brazil? No, it's Peru. She went down the Amazon to study there with the medicine women, men and women in dugout canoes, and also went to India and to Germany to study the ancient methods of working with women's reproductive organs. Women, according to her, and her name is Almeen Barton as well, and if you look that name up on the internet, you can find her site, and she's available for consultation, also wonderful with dietary issues. But she has had, where she was taught by the people in the village that they put a little blanket over their baby's head, because if other men and women look at that baby with avarice, if they wish that it was their little baby, or they wish they had that child, it creates what's called hot eyes. They found that the baby is so sensitive to this ill intent in the gaze of others, the quote, evil eye, that it produces pus in the baby's eyes. That's not unusual for me to accept that. I can perfectly accept that, because little babies pick up things empathically from other people. And when one looks with the gender, you could get some sort of a conjunctivitis in the eyes. So we are highly susceptible to others' motives. Like, to those babies, if you want to look at someone's baby, you have to tap, and I can't remember what it says, but, you know, this will soon be available on our Belvas Patel website, but you have to tap behind the head 3 times, and I think it's your own head that you have to tap, but you tap behind the head 3 times to indicate to the mother that you wish to see her baby, but you are aware of your thoughts, and your thoughts will be clear when you're looking at that little one. They are highly susceptible, Costas, and yes, these rituals that are being performed. Let me give you an example of that. They have tremendous import, and this has got to be changed, and I will ask the Infinite what we should be doing about it. So, for example, if you face West when you are teaching a class, you are standing in the East. You are not actually sucking in their negativity. If, however, you are standing in the West, let me see if I got this right. Yes, if you're standing in the West facing East, you suck in what the class gives. When you're in the East and they're in the West, now I understand that there are no longer directions, but I'm trying to give you an idea of how archetypal things have become. The West is negative, it's receptive. The East is proactive. The teacher gives teachings, they suck it in. You're in the West, however, you're sucking in your class's stuff. So this is an example. The Catholic Church used to have their priests stand in the East and face the West. And the numbers in the Catholic Church grew tremendously. They then changed that, and the priests started to be in another direction. They started to put their priests in the West facing East. And because East was supposed to be the Easter, supposed to be the time of, you know, transfiguration and so on, all of a sudden, the numbers in the Catholic Church dropped dramatically. It's because they no longer took in this receptive form what the priest was dishing out. In fact, the priest was taking in what they were dishing out. These rituals are very important. Let us ask the Infinite about it, because I don't know what it is that we need to do. Ishkiach kaiyes. Isai yichi akiach. Mishka tuhunuch kve. Iakya usa. Ishpiska kiakena usutava. Mishpekie inashviva. Ushte eskenech. This day, let it be so that those ritualistic gestures, ceremonies, and upon us by others. Whether innocently accepting it, unknowingly accepting it, or willingly accepting it. Shkia kafka ikese, ishkia tunam askia kese, shartana usu ishihyaka kese, shunuh kasa pata inivesia kiaka unush. It shall not register. Let all power of all ritual and sacred and all ritual and ceremony other than the sacred rituals that I have given you as part of my gift of incorruptible powers restored to humankind no longer register. All that shall register is that which I am, that which I have given you in the form of rituals. Ishyatu nahye does in fact not give you another's intention, but reveals the perfection underlying the appearances. Let only the perfection register. Let all that has been done in the form of baptism and marriage, which binds together couples when there should be separation, or creates a bondage that makes them want to break free. Let all these results from past ceremonies at this time be purified and cleansed and entirely removed from all creations within the cosmos. Ishpaskuhi katai nehke, achvas kavi, eshves kava ieche, mispaki kanash vasta. Let all contracts be made null and void. The only contract in existence is for the many to reflect in its fullness the whole through its life. Pityah kushkite nishkayasa ikiyama ushu. Agreements of the heart for the sake of clarity and understanding the contribution each will make shall remain. My brothers and sisters, we unfortunately have come to the end of our show. There is no more time actually to do Paul's question, which was a really good one, so we will do it tomorrow on our pre-record at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Station 1. Thank you so much for joining us, and for those of you that hear the show later, my heart will feel your presence as you listen to it, and my love to you always. Goodbye.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almeen. Please join us again next week.